And here we go, folks. We're on with Inside Middle Tennessee. And Sarah Elizabeth is chasing imaginary gnats around her face right now.
There was one in the car this morning. Maybe it followed me in. I'm not sure.
You know, I think the bugs have finally arrived.
I didn't have to sweep up any ladybugs on my porch this week.
But I tell you what, we've been fighting. Wasps.
Oh, well, yes.
And Ellie Grace is afraid of those as much as she would be afraid of a rattlesnake.
Well, rightly so. You get popped by one, it's not a lot of fun.
No. She got popped by one in preschool on the playground at CA.
And she's
never forgotten that.
Oh, Lord.
But it's strange. Our back porch is screened, and there'll be just one wasp. Just one wasp.
How does he get in?
I don't know.
Up through the floorboards?
I don't know. There's some little place somewhere. And one day I caught one in a cup. Yeah. And then I took him outside and shook him so he could go back to whatever wasps need to do. It drives Sarah Elizabeth crazy if she's in the pool.
Ellie Grace is in the pool.
Oh, wrong girl.
Ellie Grace is
in the pool. And the wasp will swoop down to get a drink, and she thinks he's coming after her. I said, just let him have a drink and go on.
Yeah. Tell her because she's so sweet.
Yeah, that's it, undoubtedly. You know. Well, she has survived
the first
week of third grade testing. Help us, Lord.
Yes. They did ELA this week. They did that's English Language Arts. So.
Okay.
English and reading
to us old school people.
She said
she was fine. So I don't know.
Maybe that'll lower her anxiety.
I hope so.
Yes.
But she didn't seem to be right. And we just let it go.
But on the reverse, my godson, when he takes tests, he's just like, I think A sounds good today. I think I'll do all A's, or I think I'll do all B, or he'll do some kind of pattern or something.
That's a big problem with those tests. They'll go A, B, C, D. This is the funniest testing story I know. We had this reading program for folks who were behind, and I could just see this child. I couldn't tell you her name for anything.
About what age?
Oh, she'd been an 11th grader.
Okay.
And she was way behind, and they're trying to catch her up. And she turned her answer sheet backwards. She did page 3 for page 1 and so forth. And she made a lovely score. We were just astounded that she...
Scott looks mortified.
And she probably did well to read the most basic thing.
We have to turn the camera on, Sean. Scott is shaking his head.
We do not endorse that at all. So, kids, if you're listening, do not do that.
We thought that was really funny, though.
But, yeah, and then next week she has... math for 2 days, and then the third grade at Baker is doing social studies. So,
and I'm sure she'll do excellent in all of it.
Yes, I think she'll be fine. But it is we need to. If you're a praying person, please take a moment and pray for all the teachers and the staff and the students. Because it's taxing and they're drained. She is drained when she gets home. She's exhausted.
Yes, she is. And the teachers, there's so much test security connected to that. You have to sign your life away, and you have to count them 2 or 3 times, and you have to be sure if you got 28, you took 28 back to the people, because they'll come after you with a long hook.
Such is the system that
we have.
That's
right.
Yes.
And I understand why they're doing that, but that just adds to the tenseness of the school when testing is going on.
Yeah, to the stress level.
Yeah.
Just elevates it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is interesting that, you know, you made the comment that Ellie Grace said it wasn't all that hard. It's just funny how not just kids, but all of us get so worked up over so many things.
Yeah.
And most of the time, it is not near what we thought it was going to be.
No.
The second time I took the ACT, my calculator died on the math portion, and I just went into, like...
You have a hissy fit.
You couldn't do that while they were testing, but I'm like, well, I'm just going to have to figure... So I had that work, you know, the sheet they give you to work the problem that it was covered front to back and all corners, all spaces, whatever. And so I made the best score on the math portion when I didn't have the calculator. So I don't know.
In other words, you had to remember long division quick, didn't you?
Whew. That was, I was sweating bullets at that moment.
I wouldn't take a math test if somebody paid me a large sum of money. Liberal arts people are not generally math people.
No.
Children, these comments are not endorsed at all by the state of Tennessee.
These are endorsed by the Board of Education at Carter's Creek.
Yeah, there you go.
This is a local entity. Most people don't know about it.
Well, let me introduce the players real quick. I'm Jim Ross. We got Delk Kennedy on the board, thank goodness.
Good morning, Jim.
We got Representative Scott Sapicki.
Good morning, everybody.
Over here, battered and bruised from the state of, Tennessee. Or as he says, politics as usual.
Politics as usual.
His suit of armor has little dents in
it. Yeah, it looks like hail hit it, you know, from last night a little bit.
Yeah.
And the dynamic duo of Sheila Hickman and Sarah Elizabeth Hickman McLeod and all. So, now, was the storm very bad last night? Did you get much of it down your way?
Just rain.
Rumbled and lightning.
Loud thunder.
Yeah.
Dog was sleeping on my head, but other than that, it was a normal day.
Oh, yeah. Our dogs all started moaning and groaning.
Oh, I had one that was licking my hand on the side of the bed because she was just kind of disturbed. Isn't it funny how thunderstorms do that to dogs?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's because of their acute sense of hearing that what sounds loud to us really sounds loud to them.
Yeah,
I guess, and the low frequencies in particular.
Yeah. And you can always tell when a storm's about to blow up, the horses will start running.
They'll start running.
So, really?
Yeah. Ours does.
They're good barometers, I guess you'd say. You can tell that in the wintertime. If it's going to start getting bad, it's going to start spitting snow or something, the horses will run.
Wow. So they can kind of, they notice the barometric pressure change.
Yeah. So. The funniest thing at our house is the goat parade. Ellie Grace
dinner time.
Ellie Grace's horse is with the goats. They're all close friends. And when the horse moves, the goats move. And so it's just they have this little five little goats and one big horse, and they just march right along like they've been trained to do.
We have the goat parade at dinner time. We used to have the floor show, Ellie Grace's floor show, while we were eating because she wouldn't sit and eat. And now we have the goat parade.
Well, she goes swimming as soon as she gets home.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing that's kind of interesting along that line, too, is birds.
Yeah.
And Delk, you would know this if you're ever in a dove field in September. If there's a thunderstorm, it comes up, right, and you can see it coming. Yeah. Right before it gets here, the doves will absolutely flood a field. Yeah. They will be all over it. You know, and I guess that barometric pressure wave that's coming in front of that cloud just pushes them, and they go crazy. So, anyway, what else we got going on, folks? We've got much going on this weekend. Now that we don't get the paper, we don't know.
I'm very upset. I don't have the paper to tell me what's going on
on Friday.
Can I squeeze a little bit more time today?
Sure. Yeah.
Because we just passed your budget.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff in here, and I want to be able to run stuff by you, and you guys ask questions if you feel
okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
all right.
Sure.
Okay,
well, let's do the budget.
Got 5 minutes take it?
When we come back. When we come back.
Hey, it doesn't matter.
Up to y'all.
Yeah.
So, all right. Okay. I'll tell you what. Let's do it when we come back. Delk, you want to break us a little bit earlier, or do we want to keep on going?
I can break you early if that's what you want to do.
That's fine.
Let's break early. And then we'll come back. How about that? We'll be right back with Inside Middle Tennessee.
Here we go.
Hey, Columbia. This is Trip from Trip's Ace Hardware. I'd like to invite you to our Spring Day and Remodel Celebration on Saturday, April 27th. We will have grilling demos, free food tastings, and a gift with any $10 purchase. Come see our new store, new garden center, and all our new merchandise. We are located next to Legends on James Campbell Boulevard. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks. For 60 years, people have shopped Parks Motor Sales to get the best vehicles and the best service. ParksMotorSales.com has details on new Buicks, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs, financing, certified technicians, parts, tires, and much more. Stop by 919 Nashville Highway, take a Buick for a test drive, and learn why the Buick Encore and Buick Enclave are among America's most reliable vehicles. Experience the new Buick at Parks Motor Sales.
Hello, I'm Barbara Lincoln with Holland's Pharmacy. You may have heard our previous commercials about compression hosiery that we carry at Holland's Pharmacy. Well, we've recently expanded into a full line of knee braces, back, wrist, ankle, and other support wear. We will gladly help you get just the right fit for these items and, of course, special order items to ensure the proper fit. Come see us at Holland's Pharmacy, 1608 Hatcher Lane, or call us at 931-388-4233. 388-4233.
Hi, I'm Steve, the garbage man. By now, you all know about Don, our service truck guy. Well, let me tell you about another member of our service team, and that's Mike Ashley. He's the guy you'll talk to when you call the office. Just call and talk to Mike one time at 931-540-0919, and you'll see why we're lucky to have him here at the Garbage Man. Thanks, Mike, for all you do to keep the Garbage Man first in service. That's 931-540-0919.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard, so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the drywall that somehow isn't. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Call Davis Heating and Cooling at 931-388-2090 for all your home comfort needs. Davis Heating and Cooling is your local American Standard dealer and proudly serves the Maury County area. Find Davis Heating and Cooling online and on Facebook or call today, 388-2090.
Hi, this is Dr. Wendy Tuohy from the Dr. Gill Center. Most chronic back problems are caused by compression from the disc becoming thinner and bulging as we get older. All we have to do is treat the disc by gently decompressing the spine. You may not have to rely on dangerous drugs, risky injections, and often unnecessary surgeries. If you are experiencing neck, back, hip, or leg pain, it's likely we can help you. Initial exam and x-rays, $39. Call me painfree.com or 615-551-9224.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
Hello, my name is Connor Mims. My wife Bradley and I live in Columbia, Tennessee in Riverside. I am a deck and porch builder and my wife is a second grade teacher at Riverside Elementary. My specialty is designing and building elegant and comfortable porches and decks. Let me work with you to design and build the porch or deck of your dreams. Give us a call today from our website, MimsModernLandscape.com. That's MimsModernLandscape.com, and check out what we have to offer. Thanks.
The generations that have paved the way for us deserve respect, integrity, and compassion. This is Kelly Dobson, owner of Caring Hearts Home Healthcare. My grandmother and mother started this business in 2005, and I was honored to take over in 2012. Licensed and insured, we help our aging community stay in the comfort of their own homes. Online at CaringHeartsHomeHealthcareLLC.com, by phone 931-381-5470, or in person at 1121 Trotwood Avenue here in Columbia. That's Caring Hearts Home Healthcare.
Life gets busy, and sometimes slowing down to buy your family quality food can seem impossible. This is Terry Taylor with Taylor Family Farm, and we offer local home delivery in addition to our local drop locations to help with that problem. Now you can get your favorite pastured poultry, pork, and grass-fed beef delivered right to your door. Visit TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com to find out how. We believe in healthy food, healthy people, and healthy community at Taylor Family Farm.
Hi, I'm Matt Perales, manager of Maury County Equipment. We help you with all your agriculture and construction equipment needs. We carry a full line of New Holland tractors from compacts to high horsepower. We have a full line of Gravely mowing equipment. We also have New Holland construction equipment, attachments, and accessories for your tractors and a complete parts department. We are locally owned and operated. Come see us at 1075 North James Campbell Boulevard or learn about us on Facebook or contact us at 931-490-8183.
And we're back with Inside Middle Tennessee. Scott's been having lots of fun up there on the legislative floor.
I bet he's been bored.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
There are people hot on his tail.
Hey, when you're over to Target, trust me, you take flack.
Okay. Yes, sir.
So we did pass our budget. We did cut the budget roughly $10 billion. A lot of that was some of the federal funding from COVID that is now being phased out of the budget. But we did, I think we ended up cutting in reality about $4 billion out of the budget this year. Everything is still funded. We really didn't have to make any economic cuts to the budget. They did move some money around, and they combined a couple of the departments for cost-saving measures to eliminate some of the higher administrative costs. But the people that that you interact with when you call to the government to ask a question, all those people are still there. They're there all answering the phones. They're providing the answers and giving you the help. We just combined some departments to eliminate the upper and middle management levels to save some money for us. So a $52.8 billion budget, it was $64 billion last year. $64 billion, but roughly about $4 billion in cuts. Very interesting here, and I was talking about it. We spend about $1.3 billion a year in corrections in our state penitentiary systems, $1.3 billion. See, right on key right there.
Yeah. They have found you.
we now officially have really started to separate healthcare. 10 care used to be our biggest state budget allotment every year. It is now education. 10 care is roughly about $6 billion. Education now, state money is $7.3 billion. We increased it another $250 million this year. Cost of living, inflationary pressures, and then keeping on track. Remember last year we passed a bill that teachers' base pay in the 25-26 school year will be $50,000. So that'll be the lowest amount in the state you'll be able to start at as a teacher. We did get into economic development. We funded various programs across the state. Our parks have been fully funded, where if you want to go out and experience some of probably the most beautiful parks we have in the country are right here in Tennessee.
Yeah.
They are now fully funded. If you've ever been out to Fall Creek Falls, they've built a new, visitor center, a new hotel out there.
Yes.
It's very, very nice. Mm-hmm. And so that's the plan, is a lot of our hotels at our parks are very dated. And so every year we're renovating a new one every year to make it up to date. If you've ever been down into Alabama, some of their facilities are outstanding.
Oh, yes.
Scott, I think at one time, and it's been a few years, but I believe in comparison with other states that Tennessee's state park system ranked number one in the country.
It is, and for instance, if you've been out to Henry Horton.
Oh yes, we went to their new restaurant.
New restaurant, and it's beautiful.
Oh yes.
And so we're making an investment in our parks to try to encourage Tennesseans to get out more and experience the great outdoors, which would lead to hopefully a little bit healthier Tennessee. And then just the various parts of government have been funded. So we have come in, I think we've come in actually about $400 million under revenues. So we have a little bit of a surplus going forward. We don't know what inflation is going to lead.
I'll say it's going to get eaten up somewhere.
it's possible, but we're hoping... we're hoping that the economy will start to shift more, where inflationary pressures come down and start to bring prices down for people.
That'll be good.
Some of the interesting things that we were able to get, the volunteer firefighters equipment grant that we have every year, we've added $5 million to that. So Maury County, every year they file for equipment, and they get equipment that gets paid for by you, the taxpayers. We're just a funneling mechanism that now our Maury County firefighters can have the most up-to-date equipment they have when they have to go and help those that are in need. We also increased, we also added in rescue squads. Fire is one thing, but rescue is becoming those people that get there first.
Yeah.
And so we put a $3 million grant in there for rescue squads. So I'm sure Maury County and Columbia, Spring Hill, and Mount Pleasant will be applying for those grants. And then we also added EMS now. So $2 million for emergency medical services too. Our senior centers received their $3 million allotment like they do every year. And then just some other stuff. Best Buddies has been funded. Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Middle Tennessee has been funded. We also wanted to invest more because of the and this is something that we all need to think about. When you go to these food banks, It isn't the normal people that you would think you would see at a food bank. It is affluent people that are living paycheck to paycheck in very perilous times. Mm-hmm. And so through the Department of Agriculture, we have food banks that are circulated throughout the whole state. We've added $7.2 million to help buy food for these food banks. So they can apply for grants to be able to get more funds to help people. That's one of the biggest needs we have right now is the pressure that's on our food banks because there's more than just indigent people that are coming in. It is people that if you go up and talk to the people up in Spring Hill, there's all types of cars that show up there. There are all types of families that are very tight right now. So,
but that would include our own local Harvest Share, for example.
Everybody can
and
apply for these
the
grants.
Churches that participate. Right.
And then Youth Villages, they do a lot of really good work. We've also funded them with a grant for $4.4 million to make sure they can do what they can. A couple things. And so there's a lot of bills that get put behind the budget looking for money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were very fortunate this year. Two of the bills that I had run specifically that came from Murray County that people said, hey, we got a problem we need you to fix. One of them you guys know about that I've been working on for a while came from our very own Chandler Anderson. I think on this radio show we talked about it, where if you assault somebody in a healthcare facility, that is very prevalent right now.
Uh-huh.
That the bill we ran was if you assault someone in a healthcare facility, it would be an automatic assault, would be an automatic Class A misdemeanor. If it's aggravated, it's a Class E felony. We've upped the escalation for assaults in our healthcare facilities. We got that funded this year, so that now will become state law. So do not assault the people that are trying to help you when you're in need.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And then the other one we got passed, Dr. Thomas over at Columbia Academy. The federal government had a law that said if it's a 16-passenger van or higher for schools, you would have to have a CDL.
Yeah.
The state misinterpreted that and made it 15-passenger, which means all these school buses that are going around, the little shorties, mm-hmm. or the 15-passenger vans that educational facilities use were requiring to have CDLs through the state, and it was causing a problem of trying to get people CDLs. So we worked with the Department of Safety through Columbia Academy and other sources. But the good thing about it was, instead of it riding just for private schools, we expanded it to cover public schools, too.
Well, those little buses come in handy.
Yes. So now public schools, instead of having to have a 80-passenger bus taking 10 kids somewhere, now they can go out and they can purchase these smaller little buses, and they don't have to have a CDL to drive them, so the coach can drive them wherever they're going to go, or the administrator, and we can start to save money through our public school system.
By not having to pay another driver.
And use the fuel and maintenance on these big buses that are having to drive around. That bill was funded also, so we got those two across the finish line. They'll be on the House floor sometime on Monday or Tuesday.
That'll be pretty much an automatic no-brainer.
That's correct. And then the third one we got pulled out behind the budget was about chiropractic care. Kind of getting the weeds on this one a little bit, but local chiropractors came to me and said, "Hey, when we bill insurance, we're just paid $50."
Yeah.
And if I do 10 things for somebody, I get $50. But if you're a doctor, you can bill for each individual service. So it was the only profession that we were discriminating on at the state. I carried a bill for the Chiropractors Association. We got it passed. So now everybody is paid the same for their services in the medical field. So we've leveled the playing field once again.
Well, that's interesting.
We will be talking about, and I'm sure Mrs. Hickman will weigh in on this, I'm sure, either on the air or off the air. But one of the things that we will be contemplating this week is creating a process for a teacher to carry in our schools, carry a firearm. We worked on that bill last year, and when the original bill came forward, it just said any any teacher could carry a firearm. And we said, that's, you can't do that. And so we came up with a plan. And what the plan is this, it is, if you are a teacher and want to exercise your Second Amendment right in a school, number one, you have to go through a mental health check, a mental evaluation.
Yeah.
Number two, you have to go and take all of the crisis courses, the shooting courses, learning how to self-defense to protect yourself that our law enforcement people go through. Then you have to get an enhanced carry permit. And then once you go through all those, which are very extensive, almost 80 hours of training, and you pass your mental health evaluation and you get your enhanced carry, then you have to go before the sheriff and get the sheriff, Bucky Rowland, to get the sheriff's permission. And then you have to go before the superintendent and get the superintendent's permission. And then in that school, you have to get the principal's permission. So we've put multiple levels of safeguards in place at the, first of all, for training. Second of all, for mental evaluation. Third, you have to get law enforcement's approval. Fourth, you have to get the superintendent's approval. And fifth, you have to get the principal's approval. Now, I'm pretty sure that our major metropolitan cities, with the way they view on guns, are going to say no right off the bat. And they're okay because they usually have SROs in every school anyway. Murray County has SROs in every school right now. We also paid for the school resource officer grant that would pay for an additional one from the state. Mm-hmm. So in theory, Murray County could have two paid for in every school in Murray County to provide ultimate safety for our kids. Murray County is not the issue here. When you get into Wayne, Perry, the Tipton, the small rural, they can't find people who are SROs to go into their schools. And the communities are so small that this might be able to benefit them to find somebody who will go through the training. And out of 7 million Tennesseans, you know how many we think will probably take advantage of this?
Two.
10 to 15 max.
Yeah.
And they'll probably be either people who are teachers who are ex-military or maybe ex-law enforcement or something like that. But this is something serious that we're trying to address. It's very, as you can imagine, it's very controversial. It's either very passionate for or very passionate against.
So who will pay for the training for the firearms?
The teacher will.
The person, personal.
Well, because they're exercising their constitutional right. This is not a school policy. This is not a state policy. This is allowing someone to exercise a constitutional right, but to be able to exercise it, they have to go and go through all this training first. Like if you go to get an enhanced carry permit, you got to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. So if you want to go through all this, you can do it, but it's on your dime because this is not a school policy and it's not a state policy. So.
Well.
There you go.
That's a deep subject, yeah. Mother.
And then on the school choice bill, we could never come to an agreement with the Senate. I think what the Senate felt like is we were doing too much for public schools. They didn't like it. I mean, they didn't like it. I mean, I'm being honest with you. They objected to our testing. They objected to our reduction in testing. They objected to our reduced evaluations on teachers, our reduced evaluations on the kids. They just objected to it all, and we could never get them there. And so
just couldn't get on the same page.
Couldn't do it. And the reason why we felt in the House that we had to go after all that stuff for public schools is because I've been up there for 6 years, and I've been talking about this for 6 years. And you just can't move it because, like I said, education is state money is $7.5 billion now, not including the federal and not including the state. We're probably pushing close to $10 billion a year now in public education. Mm-hmm. So, God willing, we'll go back up there again next year, and we will continue to fight to try to get our schools where they need to be of less testing, less evaluations, more time to teach, and better test scores. And I have a couple educators sitting right here. Some Senate members argued, we said, if we create more time for teachers to teach,
yes,
we'll get better grades. And they said, that's not true.
Oh, baloney.
And so, and here's the other problem.
Tell us how you really feel about it, Sheila.
And I'll tell you what, I'll be bluntly honest with you here, because that's what I've always done. they argued with us is, if the public schools liked your proposal so much, why didn't they support it? And I didn't have an answer because we never got one letter of support in the stuff that we wanted to do for public schools. Not one.
Yeah.
And so we lost the argument. But we'll go back to the drawing board and we'll come back next year. We will not try to join both of school choice and public education together.
No,
because
that didn't work.
That's not going to happen now. But if they're separate, we got two problems. Number one is that we got to find funding for it now, which is the main objection all the time. And number two, those entities that want to keep that $10 billion a year flowing, they don't want to change anything. There's a lot of money in education reform. We got a Director Hickman, old Director Hickman sitting here. I got to say that now. But I mean, there's a lot of money in the next greatest thing.
Well, there has been since the caveman.
Yes.
There has never been an education reform that worked, and the teachers and the school system has been, they have been the victims of people who thought they were going to save the whole business, and whatever they came up with was no better than what they started out with. And somebody made a whole lot of money coming up with all these tests and whatever.
Testing companies.
Yes. And even the people who furnish the paper and the ink. We have made a lot of people wealthy considering how many tests we have given. And the idea that I understand about accountability. We want people to do their job. I certainly would be the first to say people in the classroom better do their job. But at the same time, they need the latitude to do their job. They do not need someone standing over their shoulder to see exactly what they're going to do. Part of this is going to go all the way back to teacher education. Can you attract the people who really want to teach?
Yeah.
Some people will tell you that teaching is like a calling for preaching. That there's something within
you. I'd agree with you on that.
I agree with that, too. That there's something within you that makes you do it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and we've got to find some people. And I don't think money is the thing. I don't think money is the $50,000. Mm-hmm. I'll take that if you'll write me a check today. But at the same time, we have got to instill something in our young people who are finishing high school who say, well, you know, that's a good profession. They're honored. They're accepted in so many ways, and they make such a difference.
We have to bring we have to bring discipline and respect back into the classroom.
And structure.
I know we got to pay bills. When we come back, I'll address fourth grade retention because people that's on
it. Yeah, I got some texts.
Well, that's what we'll do. We're going to pay a few bills, folks. We'll be right back with Inside Middle Tennessee.
Well, I've been
announcing two big days of celebration at the grand opening and ribbon cutting for Columbia Paint and Wall Covering's brand new Spring Hill location at 11 a.m. on Wednesday, April 24th. Everyone is invited. On Thursday, April 25th at 11 a.m., Contractor Appreciation Day. Refreshments served from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Columbia Paint and Wall Covering has a long-standing reputation for outstanding customer service. Locally owned and family operated since 1946. Zach Maddox is now the third generation owner and operator, following his grandfather, Ralph Maddox, and his father, Zeke Maddox. Columbia Paint and Wall Covering offers a full line of paints featuring Benjamin Moore, window treatments, wallpaper, and so much more. That's 11 a.m., April 24th and 25th. Columbia Paint and Wall Covering's ribbon cutting, grand opening, and contractor appreciation celebrations. 2001 Campbell Station Parkway in Spring Hill, just off Highway 31 North, next to the Spring Hill Academy and Preschool. Give them a call, 931-674-1985, or visit Columbia Paint and Wall Covering online at paintcolumbia.com. The Columbia Arts Council presents Artist Meetup, April 22nd, 5 to 7 p.m. at Gallery 48, 107 West 7th Street in Columbia, Tennessee. Discover how the Arts Council can help you connect with resources and build our arts community. Join us. Complimentary refreshments, wine, and handshakes with the arts community. Artist Meetup, April 22nd, 5 to 7 p.m. at Gallery 48. Visit www.columbiaartscouncil.com. That's www.columbiaartscouncil.com.
Celebrate you with a new vehicle from Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia. We have a huge selection of new vehicles waiting for you. We're talking cars, trucks, and SUVs. And if you're in the business of selling your vehicle, we've got you covered. We'll buy from you even if you don't buy from us. At Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia, we're locally owned and operated and proud to serve our community as the largest CDJR dealership in Tennessee. Find your new ride today when you visit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia.
Hi, Terry Tillis from Tillis Jewelry. When you think of diamonds, what do you think of? Rare, precious, timeless, sparkles like the sun. They're timeless and nothing like them on earth. Then do you think, where do I buy local to buy the perfect ring? Maybe a diamond pendant or earrings or maybe a new diamond band. Look no further. Tillis Jewelry carries all your diamond and jewelry needs. Stop by and see our wonderful collection. And remember, if you don't know your diamonds, know your jeweler. Tillis Jewelry, downtown Columbia.
This is Mark Curry at the Trailer Store. We are a local, family-owned business. Every day, I work with my wife, Susie, my mother, Becky, and my son, Justin. We offer a full line of lawnmower trailers, utility trailers, stock trailers, and a full line of trailer parts. We also offer service. Come see us at 1021 New Lewisburg Highway. Call us at 931-381-2795. That's 931-381-2795.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
Debbie Matthews grew up and lives in beautiful Columbia, Tennessee. As a realtor, she is well-versed in homes, neighborhoods, development, and schools. She wants to share her love of her home state with others to help them find just the right place to raise a family, open a business, or develop a dream. From luxury listings to land, she can handle it all. She is the current leading producer, Nashville Realty Group. Contact Debbie Matthews Realtor at 615-476-3224. That's 615-476-3224.
Hey, this is Seth Moss at Tennessee Valley Equipment, a premier FAE PrimeTech, Bandit, and Surex dealer. We are your dealer for all of your land clearing and forestry mulching needs. We sell equipment, provide repair service, and parts along with a rental fleet of mulching equipment. We also offer mulching teeth, blades, and sharpening. Our number one priority is getting you up and running as quickly and affordable as possible. Tennessee Valley is located at 300 Santa Fe Pike in wonderful Columbia, Tennessee. Stop by or give us a call today at 931-981-9812.
Attention, ladies and gentlemen, flight 777 to Funtown with continued service to Wintersville is ready to board. Please make sure you have your new instant game tickets from the Tennessee Lottery in hand, and thank you for choosing game-changing fun.
With chances to win up to $500,000, you'll be flying first class to cash prizes with our new instant games. Hurry to your nearest Tennessee Lottery retailer to get on board today. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Please play responsibly. Pick a number between 0 and 9. That's right. Now pick another one. Right again. Now pick one more. Wow, you're on a roll. Now, if you only would have played them. Play your lucky numbers today with 3 daily drawings and top prizes of $500 to $5,000. And add Wild Ball for more winning combos. Cash 3 and Cash 4. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing moolah making fun. Please play responsibly.
Are you prepared for what many experts believe to be an exponential tax increase when the Trump tax cuts end here soon? In addition to protecting your hard-earned money during your lifetime, what about college planning? Would you like to see an excellent alternative to the 529 plan? If you think you can do a better job of spending your money than the federal government, give us a call. Call us at 931-269-9520, 931-269-9520, or go to optimalfinancialplanning.com.
All right, folks, we're back with Inside Middle Tennessee and another very interesting off-air conversation.
We will solve the problems of the world if they will just listen to us.
About education and
That's
things
right.
like that.
We got so,
Do you want to say anything about the community college? Or the,
no, I'll leave that alone. But you got your history. You want to do your history real quick?
Yeah, Mama's got a
go ahead
short
and do history
thing,
real quick, and then I'll finish up with fourth grade.
Short synopsis.
I believe that's redundant, Sarah Lesbos. Okay, Sarah, House Bill 1828, sponsored by Senator Paul Rose of Covington and Representative Gino Bulso of Brentwood, would make the Aitken Bible the official Bible of the state. And I had never heard of the Aitken Bible, but it says that it was the Bible of the Revolution and that it was one of the first things. It was printed before the Peace of Paris, and it was considered a great part of the American Revolution.
Now, people want to look this up. How do you spell Aitken?
It is a strange spelling. Capital Aitken. And you can buy one. In fact, there's a whole society that promotes the use of it, sort of like the Gideons. Sarah Elizabeth found all this stuff. It's called the Aitken Bible Historical Foundation, a 501c3. And it's called the Bible of the Revolution. And it is distinct in that it's the only Bible approved by the United States Congress, the only Bible recommended to Americans by the Founding Fathers, and the first English Bible made in America.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see a copy.
But the other alongside the Aitken Bible, the bill would also designate the following state books.
Okay, so it's going to add to the state books.
Yes. So the farewell address to the American people from George Washington in 1796, Democracy in America by Alec
de Tocqueville,
the Aitken Bible, the papers of President Andrew Jackson, Roots by Alex Haley. Incidentally, if you're near Henning, Tennessee, go see the Alex Haley Museum. I actually worked on that back in the day. A Death in the Family by James Agee. All the King's Men by Robert Penn Warren. American Lion by John Meacham. That is an excellent book.
Meacham is such a good writer.
The Civil War, a Narrative by Shelby Foote. And The Coat of Many Colors by Dolly Parton.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's just an interesting collection, and all of them have some connection to Tennessee. Roots, of course, we know Alex Haley, and I did go to Sarah Elizabeth worked on that museum. I went to do that, and it is shaped like a ship.
We put a ship in there.
The building's got a thing like a ship since he was in the Navy. And then All the King's Men is by Robert Penn Warren, and he was part of the fugitive movement at Vanderbilt. They were much aggravated with progress and a lack of respect for the South. And there's a whole bunch of stuff about the fugitives. But Robert Penn Warren is probably the best one. And that most of these won a Pulitzer. Roots did.
Now, I take it most of these authors are long gone.
Oh, yeah.
Most of them.
Yeah. And the idea that they, the thing that inspired the fugitives at Vanderbilt is there was this acerbic writer named H.L. Mencken. And he wrote.
He's pretty famous, too.
Yeah, he is. And he wrote this famous essay called The Sahara of the Beaux-Arts. The South was the Sahara of Fine Arts. And that is the most interesting essay. I when I was teaching, I would use that, and I would make students refute that. And he goes through all this rigmarole, like, there's no decent symphony in the South. There's no decent museum in the South. There's all this junk. And it stirred up a real movement, and that is what that essay will make you mad. It will just make you mad, and the children just loved it, because by this time, and this probably dates from the 30s, and by the time the children read through that, they were just fit to be tied. They just said,
those old carpet baggers,
Bill. Yeah, they said, well, that's nothing like what we've got around here. We've got, all this cultural stuff. It is not the Sahara of the fine arts. But anyway, that is, if you've never read that, see if you can scratch up a copy and read it. It will make you mad because it's just not right. But Mencken was famous for stirring things up. But we have to say something about John Meacham, who is presently a visiting scholar at Vanderbilt, and you see him frequently on the news. They'll call him in for some comment on something or other. And
about what's his age, Sheila?
Oh, he's young. He was born in 1969.
Yeah, that is young.
Yeah, he is.
It's real 54, young. 54, yeah. 53.
But his books are phenomenal. And American Lion, I flew through that. And it's about Andrew Jackson.
Okay.
And it's great.
And out there,
there's a whole series of, yeah.
He really does well. And every now and then, they'll have some kind of lectureship at Vanderbilt. And they'll have Meacham and somebody else, and I'd like to go hear that sometime. And James Agee, I will say, he was born in Knoxville, hence the Tennessee connection. And A Death in the Family is based on his life. His father left Knoxville and went to see about his father, who would be Agee's grandfather, who was sick, had a heart attack, and on the way home, A.G.'s father was killed in an automobile accident. And that's, we get from that old expression, you can never go home again. That came from A.G., and people say that all the time. They don't know where it comes from. But anyway, these books are rich. If I were teaching now, I would have folks do something about this. I would have them, we're going to pursue this and see what we did if this had a good reason to do it. But of course, that wouldn't be on the test, so I don't know whether I could do that or not.
Well, Scott, you said something, this is the second time I've heard about the Aiken Bible. I think you said you saw it,
I actually held it.
Yeah, up there on the floor.
When we were working on this, the gentleman who was in support of it, he had actually purchased, I think there's only two left in the world. Oh, and wow. He had one of them, and I got you can't physically, it's in a case.
Yeah.
but there's a picture of me holding the Aiken Bible. And it's like, I'm a history major. It was really cool to get to hold history.
Yes.
You know, hold it in your hands. And you don't know whose hands touched that Bible. You know, it could have been some of the greats of our country. But it was kind of, it was really interesting. And that's why that bill passed, is to remind people to read.
Be interested to see a verse from that, because it just reminds me like the King James Version, where you have the these and the thous and all that kind of thing.
Well, I think it was based on the King James Bible. Yes. So it's probably, it probably has those also, because that's the way people talked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They pretty much did.
Yeah.
You know, I'll remind people of the little old lady one time that had the King James Bible clutched to her chest, and they said they're going to get a new translation, and she said, no, you're not. We're going to keep this one. And says, why is that? She said, because King James is good enough for Jesus. It's good enough for me.
Yes, that is true. I've heard that used as an argument for
a lot of things, probably.
For teaching foreign languages. Yes. Yeah. You don't need to know no foreign language.
Well, Scott, about the fourth grade retention.
So we passed a bill on the House floor yesterday. It'll go back to the Senate. What we did was we created a pathway that if a student who is in that group that has to show growth from third grade, they take their TCAP score. If they don't show growth, then they're allowed to take a brief retake of just a multiple choice portion to see if they can show they master that. If they don't, then they will sit down with the principal, the teacher, and the parent. They will discuss the academics of the student, and then they'll make a determination on if the student's going to move forward, what academic supports are going to be there for them in fifth grade. Retention is still on the table. If the parent and they agree to retain the student, they agree to retain the student. That's up to the locals to decide that. The only problem with the bill is because the state has to calculate the growth measures for every student. They're not going to get the results back till July.
That's so one of the problems.
The bill that we had that got overridden was we just said if a student scores below or approaching, they give them a brief retake of the multiple choice. Mm-hmm. If they still score below or approaching on the fourth grade retake, then they just go to summer school and tutoring the next year, and we call it a day. But this is what Gary Hicks, he said he worked with the superintendents and the school boards. This is the fix that they wanted, and so that's what we did. And so so if you have a student in fourth grade that was this group that had to show growth, you are not going to get your results back from the state until probably July 1st. So you won't know until a month before school starts whether or not. And you're going to have to meet and try to figure out what the plan is going to be for the following year. So this is where we are.
That's a little late to try to figure out what you're going to do.
I would say look for another change next year if I have my way.
Well, that's always been one of the problems with testing is when you're going to get the results. You know, if it comes in July and you start school at the end of July, who's got them in time to analyze them and see where you're going with
so them? And prepare.
So yeah. one of the main questions I keep getting, and it's from Murray County, and I don't mind telling you, benchmarks are given three times a year. There's one when you get there, one around December, and one around March before you take TCAP, so you can track the academic progress of the student to see where they are. And I've had parents call me about fourth grade, mm-hmm. and because TCAP's, they've already given TCAP, I believe, this week for fourth grade.
Yeah.
For fourth.
Next week.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's going to be done, right?
Yeah.
They haven't given the third benchmark yet.
Oh, no.
It's supposed to be given after TCAP.
Got the cart before the
horse. And that doesn't make sense to me of why you would, because the last evaluation a kid had was in December. Nobody knows where the kid is right now, the student is. They're just going to march into TCAP, and we're going to cross our fingers. So I've got the state working with our county down here trying to figure out why we didn't give the third benchmark before the TCAP test for fourth grade to see where they are. I'll let you know when they find out, when they tell me.
Well,
that's the so if the test proved something, if the test allowed the teachers to be better teachers, then they'd be all for it.
Yeah.
But it just does not work that way. I think I told y'all when I was at Cox, everybody was elementary person, I think, but me, and they those young teachers marked off where they taught something. I have taught nouns today. Mark that off. I'm not going to teach nouns anymore because I've already taught nouns, and that's all right. Now, I don't know whether they know a noun from a pronoun, but I taught it, and I'm moving on now because I don't have time to wait.
So the other thing that gives us much pause up in Nashville in the General Assembly in education is, so we're taking our fourth grade TCAP now. Well, the end of school is in May sometime.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? We're giving up.
Very little.
We are giving up valuable teaching time that could be used to help our kids out. And so we're working. We're talking to school board and superintendents and trying to figure out how we can put more of those days before the tests instead of after. So it's a very convoluted thing right now. I'm very disappointed that we couldn't come together to get the things that we needed for public schools, but we'll try again next year.
Well, it's just always an effort toward improvement. Mm-hmm. If we could just go back to the, as we've said repeatedly here, if we could just go back to having school and not worry about all these things that we can't control in the first place, then I think children would like school better, and I know the teachers would.
Yeah.
Sarah Elizabeth and I went to play with the band last night. We're having a band reunion concert.
Next Tuesday night at 6.
We played with the high school children.
Folks, music started. We got 30 seconds. You want to throw anything out there real quick?
Blue Picking Party, Touch a Truck at Riverwalk Park, Cars and Coffee at AM tomorrow downtown. Several other things going on.
All right, folks, we got to go. We'll be back next week with Inside Middle Tennessee.